All right, we've been going through Romans, and we're kind of in the middle, one of the middle parts. And we've gone through about how all mankind needs a Savior, and the Lord is that Savior, and how to access that salvation, first part. And the second part was living the life, living the life of God within us as saved people, having gone through the first part. And we're into the third part now. All three of these establish a person. Only the first part, my gospel, Romans 1 through 5, is mainly about salvation, how to be saved. But living the life of God within us, that establishes you, that helps to establish you, along with this, knowing about the scriptures of the prophets and Israel's prophecies, and why Israel and their doctrine and their gospel is not the way to be saved today. The Lord has stopped that because of their apostasy, and it's not imagination. It's in Acts 7. At the end of Acts 7, you can see that Matthew 12, 31 and 32, the unforgivable sin was done at that time by Israel. And not just by Israel, but by the council, the elders, the scribes, the people, and the high priest himself took part in that. So it doesn't work anymore to try to be a Jew or to bless a Jew or come to God under that, to get get circumcised for religious reasons, or keep the Sabbath, any of those things. They're all discontinued now. So how do we get saved? Well, that was that was what the first part was about, and these lessons are all posted at the website in the banner there, so I encourage you, if you missed some of those, go back and review salvation in the first. They're labeled in the title, the salvation ones, and then second one would be life, I think it's called, about how to live the life once you're saved. And here today, in the last few days, especially yesterday, we got into the olive tree and grafting into the olive tree, what that means when the Bible talks about it. Paul's the only one that talks about it. And what does he mean? What is his context? And we covered that yesterday, so that would be the 2015, 12:15 lesson, or or numbered as lesson number 25. You can go down and find it, especially in topical lessons under the little yellow menu there for To All That Be in Rome. And you'll find the lessons separated out there. But at one time, graft people into the green olive tree, which the Bible itself defines that as Israel, the olive tree being Israel. But now, Israel is cast away for a while. The Lord will bring them back, yes, but they're not brought back now. He brings them back at the end of the tribulation, and we're gone at the beginning of the tribulation, or before it, and that triggers the tribulation. So, for now, salvation is only available by believing the gospel revealed to Paul, by which Paul was saved, and by which we can be saved. That's Galatians. We find that out in Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he didn't get it from man, like Peter or James. They're men. He didn't get it from men. He got it from the Lord Jesus Christ, this gospel. What's he say? The gospel which was preached of me. That gospel of salvation was committed to Paul to dispense far and wide. It started, though, as the gospel of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. Thank you for posting. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Well, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So he was, early on, he was committed, charged with spreading or dispensing or the dispensation of the gospel of Christ, which Romans 1:16, it's not in the verse list. Let me see if I can just pull that up here. Romans 1:16 tells us that there are a couple qualifiers involved with that gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So that the gospel of Christ is the gospel that saves people. Excuse me just a moment, please. Is the gospel that saves people. But he goes on to say that it's to everyone that believeth. That's great. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, I'm not Jewish and I'm not one of the Greeks that sought the wisdom and knowledge of God in the synagogues. How does that affect me? Later on, God expanded that sending of that same saving message, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and changed the name of it to the gospel of the grace of God, but it included, at that point, it included everybody, including these Jews and Greeks who were the primary goal of Paul and of Christ, reaching them first during their diminishing period. That was after they had fallen in Acts 7. They were diminishing. Romans 11, verse 12, I think it is, tells us that they had a diminishing period there. And it went on until they were blinded and cast away. You can read that in the last half chapter of Acts. And that ends Israel's history. Nothing more to write about them. The book ends. So that gospel of Christ was committed to Paul to preach it to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I hope that this helps to make it clear as we go through the next few verses. Let's go to Romans 11 and we'll look at verse 18. And we'll continue on down through 24. And so let's going on to this verse here. Hold on, let me just look over it here and get my thoughts right on it. I don't want to mess up, give you wrong information. Boast not against the branches. So he's talking about those Gentiles that believed during Israel's, before Israel fell. There were some Gentiles that also believed that Israel was the way God was working with mankind at that time. God was working through Israel. And so they submitted to God. They blessed Israel. They realized the covenant there in Genesis 12:3 said that God was going to bless people that blessed Israel. He's going to bless outsiders, people that weren't Israelites, if they blessed Israel. So they came and they sought the information out, sought it in the synagogues where the scriptures were kept. They came to on the Sabbath day and paid their tithes. They were blessing Israel to receive a blessing. So these Gentiles that did that before the fall of Israel, Paul tells them, boast not against the branches. In other words, some branches were broken off, it says in Jeremiah, it says it in Romans, and that's what you're reading from Matthew 13 on, the rebellion and apostasy of Israel, and finally the crucify the Lord Jesus Christ and blaspheme the Holy Ghost in with the words of the Holy Ghost being spoken by Stephen. And they stoned him as he was speaking the words. But Paul says, boast not against the branches, those believing Israelites. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. In other words, be thankful that God was gracious enough to let you know the truth, know the gospel, and you believed it. The gospel for them is, you know, the content of the gospel was different than the content of our gospel. Our gospel is what Paul was saved by. Believe that Christ died for your sins, died your death that was due to you, that was coming to you, and he rose for your justification. You are justified, you are saved by that. According, Paul just called it, Romans 1:20 called it the gospel of salvation, by which also you are saved, in 1 Corinthians 15. Excuse me just a minute. But back then, before the fall of Israel, Gentiles could only approach God through Israel. In other words, the root bore them. The root carried them, held them up, those branches. Romans 11, verses 19 and 20. 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. So faith was part of the conditions that they were under, continuing to have faith. It sounds like similar to what Paul preached, but it's not. They had to generate the faith. It wasn't a one-time thing for them. They had to endure to the end. And that points out the fact that this is Israel's doctrine that relates to the olive tree and relates to the grafting in. It's all Israel's doctrine. It didn't have anything to do with the body of Christ. It goes on, thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. Well, Paul doesn't tell us to fear. Look at the correlation here, though. Look at, and these verses aren't in the verse list. It'll be 1 Peter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. And then we'll go to chapter 4. But 1 Peter 1, 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, again, you have to know the context, but they have to keep their faith. And we'll get to that in a minute. But it's not faith that you had one-time faith and so you're saved now. No. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When was their salvation to appear? In the last time. Welcome to the room. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Temptations, trials, tribulation is what he's talking about. They were in or near that first year of the tribulation. That Peter said, this is that which the prophet Joel prophesied of, the tribulation. It was it, unless Peter lied or the scripture is not inspired, but it is. So, but after that first year, when they stoned Stephen, that first year of the tribulation became the year, acceptable year of the Lord, when they could have still received the kingdom. The Lord would have returned, Acts 3:19-20, but they didn't. They stoned Stephen and, you know, signed their death warrant. So that's what I believe it's talking about there, because go on to first. These are tribulation books here. These Israel's apostles, books written by Israel's apostles. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's when they get their salvation and their sins blotted out. And that's when they find out if they've endured to the end. Let's go down to 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, this will be 12 and 13 in chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Assuming that the rest of the conditions are met, such as enduring to the end. That's why he says may, not will. So those Israelites, you know, the Israelites that were broken off, the branches were broken off. It later says they were blinded. Those Israelites, like those throughout their history, did not believe God. And from the time when they first came out of Egypt, and from, you know, at Mount Sinai, they were making idols. That they were following idols, or what they thought the idols were saying and doing. They even had idols in their synagogues. God, part of their, supposedly, their Jewish worship, God was calling them to repent from their apostasy, to change their mind about their not believing God, and to believe that Jesus was the Christ, risen from the dead. Well, you know, he wasn't risen yet before he was crucified. So during that period, when he was walking on the earth, they did need to believe that he was their Messiah. And, you know, you could see a very few did believe it. And most of them criticized him and tried to trick him. And the Lord told them the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, you're not going to see it. You'll see it. Every eye will see when Christ does come with his kingdom. But at that time, at that advent, that coming of Christ, it wasn't visible. And he said, the kingdom is here among you. It's within your group here. The words he used was, the kingdom is within you. But it wasn't. He wasn't telling them these bloodthirsty Pharisees that you're the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom of God was standing there among that group, the 12 apostles, and those that believed. You know, there were others that believed, but very few. You know, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, to name, you know, one group there, and there were others. Probably, you know, if you had been healed by the Lord, you would believe something about him at least. But those Israelite branches, they were broken off. So, and you know, the Gentiles that believed, called Greeks, that wanted to be grafted into the olive tree, wanted to be proselyted into Israel, they had to be circumcised. So, as you go along in Israel's history, King David pronounced this, let me read some of these verses from Psalm 69, pronounced these things on them way back. It would be like 1100 years before Christ. Psalm 69, 22 and 23, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. You know, Christ came to die for their sins, according to Paul, and according to Peter, he who bare our sins on the tree that, you know, what is it? 1 Peter 2:23 or 4. Both groups, both Israel and the body of Christ, you know, being taught by and revealed by Paul, they both knew that it was for good that Christ came to bring salvation, to bear their sins. Isaiah 53 said he would bear the sin, the iniquities of many, but it became a trap. They stumbled at the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. The verse goes on in 23, let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. So after centuries of abusing their relationship with God, breaking God's covenant with them, and going gleefully into idolatry, iniquity, apostasy, they would no longer be able to respond to God. Let it become a trap. You know, let their loins shake continually, or continually shake. After Moses, and you know, Moses prophesied that in Deuteronomy, we read the other day, David, and then Hosea. Hosea prophesied Israel's blinding. And then, you know, and we've read that before, Hosea 1, 9, and 10, in verse 9, he prophesies that Israel will not be God's people for a while, that God will not be their God. But Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, Isaiah prophesied it too. He said, go and tell this people, so it's God talking to Moses to tell it to Israel. He says, go and tell this people, hear ye, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And then later on, look at all these warnings, one after the other. Jesus Christ said it in his earthly ministry, when he walked on the earth, before he ascended to heaven and gave us our instructions through Paul. He warned them that they were going to be going blind, blinded, being blinded, not able to see, not able to respond, as we said before. There, look at Matthew 13, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. This is in Matthew. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. It was a warning. It was not the casting of a curse, because, well, look at the results. You know, the desolation that follows those verses in Isaiah didn't follow immediately after Matthew 13, and when Christ said this. This was a warning for them, just like David warned them, Moses warned them, Hosea warned them. So the diminishing that they were told about had not been a surprise. I mean, it had been continuing for a long time, and they had been told that they would be blinded if they continued in their iniquity and apostasy. There was a way out. You know, they could have responded to God and been God's people. But Paul finalizes it at the end of Acts, and that is the end of Israel, at least until they confess their sins, trusting that God is faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness, as he said he would in 1 John 1:9. That was promised to Israel, not to everybody that picks up the book and looks at it. It was a promise to Israel. John writes to Israel. Look at Galatians 2:9. If you're questioning that, John writes to Israel. You can also look at 3 John 1:7. John writes to Israel, to those that are not the Gentiles. So 1 John 1:9 is not for us, it's for Israel. And it goes along with Leviticus 26, 40 to 42, 2 Chronicles 7, I think it's 13 or 14, I think it's verse 13, often used for revivals. If my people who are called by my name will, you know, that's the verse. I don't have the whole thing memorized, but it's a long verse. But that's to Israel. It's about my people, Israel. It's not, a call for reviving up and, you know, following God and making a new try at it or anything like that. But there are many other places in the Bible where that type of warning and an offer, you know, if my people, an offer to call them back. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. In Isaiah, first chapter. But until they do confess their sins, they remain stumbled, fallen backward. Different terms the Bible uses. Broken off, snared, taken, cut off, and blinded. And they're no longer God's people. They're lo am I. So look at Romans 11, verse 21. We're reading, we're down to 21 in the text that we're going through. And we see a feature about those that had been grafted in, a feature described about them, and it's a feature that's unlike anything that was ever taught by Paul in his teachings regarding the body of Christ. And that works out to be another proof that they had not been grafted into the body of Christ. If you need another proof, the Bible already said they're not, but it says that they have been grafted into the green olive tree, which Jeremiah 11 says is Israel. So let's read Romans 11, verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not thee. Whoa. They're on slippery ground there. Nothing like the comforting doctrine that Paul teaches to us about our security in the Lord. That we're not on slippery ground at all, believers in Paul's gospel. So these people were grafted into Israel, and they could be removed. Just like the unbelieving Israelites had been, you know, had been the branches that were removed originally, earlier, I should say. Unbelieving Israelites were removed, and then the Greeks that blessed God and blessed Israel, and the ones that were proselyted or circumcised would come in and take those places of those branches that were cut off. But they could actually fail to be saved. You know, anybody on that olive tree. Unlike us in the body of Christ, Israel's conditions were partly under their control. It depended on their works of obedience and, as we read earlier, their faith. So in Matthew 24:13, we see that they had to endure to the end to be saved. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be, future tense, shall be saved. That was for them. That was for Israel. And you can see how different that is from everything that Paul teaches. Christ never had Paul teach us that we have to endure to the end to be saved. Paul teaches Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Present tense, you are saved. Once you believe the gospel, you're saved. God set it up that way. It's a new pattern. As the speaker before was saying, Paul was a prototype, first of a kind, and the others are made like that. That's why Paul says, 11:1, 1 Corinthians 11:1, what is that? I'm sorry. Follow me as I follow Christ, I think it is, isn't it? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am, parenthesis, a follower of Christ. So, it doesn't say, by grace you will be saved. It says, by grace you are saved. And many of us know that fact, that verse, and we rest in that from God's word. That's part of our faith, that we believe that Christ saved us when we trusted in the gospel, the word that he gave us, that he would save us. We're saved now. As soon as we believe the gospel of salvation, we are saved. That's that's worthy of shouting or praising. We're not emotionless. Saved means saved from the wrath of God. If someone ever ends up in the wrath of God, then they were never saved from it. If God says you're saved, then you're saved. And there's no way you can end up in the wrath of God. He's saved you from it, and he's given you his word. Here it is again in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But notice that it says, for by grace are you saved. It doesn't say, for by grace will you be saved. Or you will be saved. No, he says you are saved. Different. It's got to be totally different than Israel. They're waiting until the end to receive their salvation, 1 Peter 1, 5. And Peter said in Acts 3, 19 and 20 that the Lord would return and blot out their sins when the Lord returns. So, let's go on to the next verse. Let's go to 22 in Romans 11. Behold, therefore, this is talking about the olive tree again and their slippery condition, both the branches that, when they stopped believing, they were cut off, and the ones that were grafted in, it says they can be cut off again too if they lose their faith. But therefore, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Wow. That can't be talking about what Paul talks about, can it? This is Paul wrote Romans, but he's telling them Israel's condition there, and the olive tree's condition, and the conditions of the people that are grafted into it. It says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. That's talking about his treatment of Israel, the way Israel related to God and the way God related to Israel. Strict, severe. But towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Well, that if, you see that's a condition there. For those in Israel, and even those that were grafted into Israel, there is that condition. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. So they were... it says, thou also shalt be cut off. Well, cut off from what? Cut off from what they were in. Well, what were they in? Green olive tree. And the Bible says that's Israel. They would be cut off from Israel. They would be cut off from Israel's future salvation in the land. Now, this doesn't... let me go on. We'll get to that in its proper place, proper time. But they were not being saved into the body of Christ. Instead, they were enduring to the end in order to, in the end, be saved as part of Israel into the land. That's the conditions they were under, and those that were grafted into Israel's olive tree. It's heartbreaking to see people come into the room and say, we get Israel's blessings, we're grafted in, as if they had read it and studied it, and that's what it said. Well, they've got the same Bible we've got, but it doesn't say that, does it? we're not grafted in. Those Gentiles were when there was still an Israel to be grafted into, but Israel fell. A key point, crucial point to remember that many people never heard of, that Israel fell and has been cast away now. They fell in Acts 7. The last 10 verses of Acts 7 shows you that. If you compare it to Matthew 12, 31, and 32, that it's an unforgivable sin what they did. So, Israel will be saved to the land that was given to them on earth. I mean, it's physical dirt, you know. They're saved into the land, and that's Israel's future in the land. Israel was promised by God the land. And you can see that in places like Genesis 13, verse 15. In Deuteronomy, well, let's read these. Genesis 13, 15, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, forever." Well, they don't have it now, do they? That means it hasn't been given to them yet. There's still future events to happen if God is telling the truth. Is God telling the truth? Better believe it. That's our only hope. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God will bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." So this verifies that Israel was going to be saved to the land if they endure to the end. To the land is part of what, you know, we're looking for as we read through here. Look at, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God." And that's God talking through Moses to Israel. They had to love the Lord. And he goes on, "to walk in his ways." That's actions, isn't it? That's things you do. "To keep his commandments." That's keeping laws, doing works. That's totally unlike anything Paul would write about the body of Christ. He's telling them what Israel is like here. And what they should have done, what if they would have done, they would have received the kingdom at that time. Especially there in Acts 10, you know, he tells them what they should have believed. And it works out to be the gospel of God. The facts about who Jesus is, the very facts that they denied, that they refused to believe. And they crucified him. Going on, "and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it." So their inheritance was the land on earth, not in heaven. Heaven was never promised in the Old Testament. The revelation of Jesus Christ through Paul was the first time it was told to us that we, in the body of Christ, would have a home eternal in the heavens. Going on to Romans 11, verse 23. "They also, if they," being Israel, "if they abide not still in unbelief," in other words, if they start believing, "they shall be grafted in." Well, that's still future tense. Shall be. It's, you know, you can read prophecies about when Israel will start believing again, like Zechariah 12:10, but it hasn't happened yet. So these Israelites in Paul's time, after they had fallen, you know, the Israel fell in Acts 7 and Paul wasn't saved until Acts 9, you know, probably just a few hours or a few days after Acts 7, the Acts 7 fall of Israel. But it was after. He didn't preach the gospel, we believe, before Israel fell. That was, you know, well, Genesis 12, verse 3, the middle clause there. I will curse him that curseth thee. How could he save those he promised to curse? Israel had to fall before the Lord could start a new pattern with Paul and the gospel by which Paul was saved. So these Israelites in Paul's time that believed not that Jesus was their Messiah and didn't believe he rose from the dead, if they abide not still in unbelief, in other words, if they start to believe, they shall be grafted into that olive tree again. That's, you know, it was mentioned in Romans 11:17, which Jeremiah 11, verses 16 and 17, shows us to be the nation of Israel. So they would be grafted back into Israel if they start believing that Jesus is the Messiah. For God is able to graft them in again. The natural branches of the olive tree could not be grafted back into the body of Christ again, because they started in Israel and had not ever been in the body of Christ before, so they could not be grafted back into the body of Christ again, not having ever been in the body of Christ before. So I hope you can see that the wording there, thank you for that, Delta. I hope you can see the wording makes it impossible that they are, that what they're being grafted into is the body of Christ. They're grafted into Israel. And this theory that we get our salvation by being grafted into Israel, or that the body of that people in the olive tree are actually in the body of Christ, either way you look at it, they're both twisted. They're both not scriptural. So, but this again confirms that the branches were grafted into Israel, not into the body of Christ. In Romans, Paul was writing in Acts 20. The book of Romans was written most probably there in Acts 20, verse 3. And we know that by Acts 28, you know, several chapters later, a few years later, Paul recited that Isaiah cursed Israel and they were cut off there in the last half chapter of Acts. They were Lo-Ami, as prophesied by Hosea in Hosea 1:9. So after Israel was Lo-Ami, there could be no more grafting of anyone into Israel when they fell. They fell in Acts 7. So Israel, It wouldn't work. It wouldn't help anything. It wouldn't bless anybody. It wouldn't give them justification or salvation or any of the blessings of Israel or the conditions of Israel. Israel was not God's people anymore, according to Hosea 1:9. So let's go to the last verse in that section about the olive tree, verse 24 in Romans 11. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So when Israel believes, you know, there's prophecies about this, when Israel believes, they will be brought back into they're called the Israel of God, not apostate Israel anymore. It would be like the little flock. But it's only talking about individual Israelites in the time of Paul, that they could change their minds and come in. I shouldn't say that. That's what's going to happen to the nation, isn't it? The nation of Israel will change their mind nationally. That verse in Zechariah 12, verse 10, shows that. Zechariah 12:10. We should take a look at that probably. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He says, I will pour the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. Israel pierced his hands when they crucified him. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They're no longer going to hate Jesus Christ enough to put him on the cross and to kill his followers. They're going to mourn for him. They're going to see him whom they pierced. When will they see him? When he descends to clean things up at the end of the tribulation. Back in Romans 11, verses 12 and verse 15, Romans 11, verses 12 and 15, Paul had already revealed that there will eventually be a fullness of Israel in 12, that's in verse 12, and that there will eventually be a receiving of them that will be like life from the dead. That's in verse 15. Life from the dead, or resurrection. So, and God is trustworthy to keep all his promises, and he keeps them with the people he promised them to. It doesn't help to fulfill the promise to somebody else. I'm going to give you $1,000, and you know, it turns out that he gives it to somebody else. That doesn't help you. It's only keeping the promise if it's to the kept to the one that the promise was made. And God made those promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel, and the nation of Israel, and the seed of Abraham. Paul had revealed part of the mystery for us about the body of Christ, and to know that at some point in the future, Israel will be back in God's favor. It's a temporary casting away. But that won't be until after the catching up of the body of Christ. Again, the covenants preclude or rule out God being gracious, saving Gentiles without Israel. Genesis 12:3, that middle clause. So once the body of Christ is, if you look at it, I don't think we went through the 25th verse. Let me see if I got it further down in my notes here, because that's where it talks about when Israel is brought back. Let's look at that. We can skip over it later if we need to, but 25, Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So he's telling them a mystery, a secret, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. That's part of the secret, and by Acts 20, they knew that, I think. They could see that Israel was acting blindly. They were acting in an apostate way. But blindness in part has happened to Israel. But here's the rest of the secret or mystery. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, what are Gentiles coming into during this age? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. So we're being brought into the body of Christ. And the fullness of when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in doesn't mean every Gentile that ever born, that, you know, many are dead and haven't come in. But when the last one that's going to come in does come in, it's filled up, that's the until. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Then they're not blind anymore. Then they can see him whom they've pierced, and they can mourn for him. So, but it happens after the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, and God is not working through the mystery anymore. He's caught us up to be with him, and he's working through Matthew 24:14, I think it is. This gospel of the kingdom shall be. Gospel of the kingdom is not our gospel. We're not waiting for a kingdom to come from heaven and rule the world from the land. this gospel of the kingdom, it's talking about Israel's gospel. It shall be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. The end of these end time prophecies for Israel. They're all for Israel. Body of Christ is never mentioned in them. That I can think of. There may be incidental mentionings, like Paul mentions us resting with him in heaven when Christ cleans up on the world of people that tried to surround Israel and blot them out. That's, what is that, 2 Thessalonians 1:6, I believe. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So, you know, you can read the context to see that's what it's talking about. But let's go on. I don't want to be late again today. I didn't realize I went so long yesterday. But God's going to keep all his promises to Israel. And God does not make promises and then say, well, I'm going to fulfill it to somebody else, to these Gentiles that come in, or to Calvinists or something. No. If I promise to take care... listen, you know, when you take your kids out and you take them for an ice cream cone and you take some of their friends along and you say, I'm going to buy you, Johnny, I'm going to buy you an ice cream cone. But when you get there, you buy it for his friend and not for your son. You know, have you done what you said you would do? I mean, to fulfill your promise to somebody else is not fulfilling your promise. And, you know, if I did that, I would not be worthy of your trust. And how dare anyone claim that God himself does that deceitful thing to his firstborn son, Israel? God didn't lie to Israel. God will keep his promises with Israel. The object of the promises was Israel, and the object is part of what was promised. The object will still be Israel, not the body of Christ, not Gentiles, or somebody else. Certain special groups that say, you know, that claim that their denomination is special. Israel will be the ones to be blessed by Christ. Israel will be the ones in the kingdom of heaven on earth that will be ruled by Jesus Christ himself on the throne, and the 12 apostles on 12 thrones, as the Bible says. Let's look at some verses here about these things, assuring that it will be Israel. Look at Acts 2:29. We'll go through some of these, 29 through 32, actually. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That's why in the Gospel of God there in Romans 1:1-4, it mentions that he descended from David, of the seed of David. And then verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. In other words, David wasn't resurrected. He's still there. His grave's still there. So he was speaking of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Look at Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He's coming to earth. We're going to heaven. Christ is coming to earth. Look at Matthew 19:28. Who's going to be ruling? Nothing about the body of Christ here. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So we see that Christ and the 12 apostles, Israel's 12 apostles, will be ruling from Jerusalem in Israel, and they will rule the world for 1,000 years. As it says in Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, this is the first one that John is counting out for the people. The people that he writes to, again, is Israel, not us. So he says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God. Only Israel is said to be, that God is going to make them his priests. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So that's not just theory, that's not just a big number to show it's going to be a long time. You know, the Lord inspired John to write it 6 times in those few verses there in Revelation 20, the word thousand, 1,000 years. He means 1,000. If your religion or theory depends on making that 1,000 years to just be a long time, you know, scrap everything. You haven't started believing the Bible yet. Believe every word in the Bible. It all fits together then. Otherwise, you're changing the Bible and not good. You're left without a final authority then. You're left without knowing what God actually said, since you can't believe it. So, back to the olive branches. The graft in wild olive branches were those Roman Gentiles that rested in the law and that Paul was writing to here. Look just briefly in the beginning of the epistle when Paul wrote to them. The Bible says in Romans 1:7, to all that be in Rome, beloved, called to be saints. He's calling them to be saints. In fact, I think it's verse 6. It may be verse 6. That it's Jesus Christ that's authorizing Paul to call them to be saints. He goes on, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was writing to all that be in Rome. He doesn't say to Israel in Rome. He doesn't say to the Gentiles in Rome or the body of Christ in Rome. He's writing to all that be in Rome. It's pretty clear. I mean, you know, if you can see, you can see the words on the page. So you can pick out spots, though, as he goes through Romans where he addresses Israel. And you can pick out spots where he addresses the Gentiles that restest in the law. They would be those proselytes that we've been talking about here, that were grafted into the olive tree. So, here he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, he's calling them to be saints, and Jesus Christ is calling them to be saints too, through Paul's gospel. Called to be saints, grace and peace to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we saw that there is an end of that section there in Romans 11:24, that God is again telling that Israel has a bright future. For if thou wert, this is Romans 11:24, if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in into their own olive tree? And if you know the section, it's, I think, 2 verses or 3 verses later that it says, and so all Israel shall be saved. So we're going to quit there for today.